Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's Monsignor McHenry, and here we are together on our little radio program called Companions on the Journey. And it's a good thing for me to be able to be with you, to spend this hour with you, to share some of my reflections, to put in front of you some things to think about, and to give you an opportunity, if you would like, to call in the second half hour from 4:30 until 5. The number is 610-527-2906. And today we're going to be talking about the Word of God, but especially how does God speak today and how can we tell? So in order to get underway in the proper fashion, we're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. And so whatever your concerns are, you can place them now in front of the Lord and know that they're going to be gathered in the prayer that I'm going to lead and place before him. Whatever concern you might have, whatever anxiety you might have, whatever you want for your family members, your loved ones, those who are struggling at the present time. There are so many things going on, but the Lord has a great heart, and he listens to us all, and he acts on our behalf. So let's place ourselves in the presence of our Lord Jesus and begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. We are aware of your presence in our midst. We thank you for this opportunity to just pull aside for a little bit of time, away from the normal things that occupy our attention and our effort, and place ourselves in your presence. We ask you to be with us and to help us to be with you. We ask your guidance, the Holy Spirit's enlightenment, so that what we say and think and do and how we understand things will be in the truth. How we hear what is said will be in the truth. How we see and grasp what is presented will be always in your truth. That's because we need your truth, and only your truth, and will set us free, to liberate us from the effects, from the slavery of sin and selfishness that is sometimes in our own lives, but often is all around us in the world. And so, Lord, we need you, and we come to you this day, and we ask you to be our source of protection and make us aware of your presence. And may your safety come to us. May your abiding spirit be our advocate. And we place this all before you, O Lord Jesus, in your name, now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the readings for yesterday, the first of the reading was from the Old Testament. It was from the book, the first book of the prophet Samuel. And many of us in the Catholic tradition are more familiar, it seems to me, with the New Testament and with the Gospels and things like that. And so we have heard many of the Old Testament readings. Each Sunday, the first reading is often from the Old Testament, and today it's from the prophet Samuel, the first book of Samuel. And there are two books of Samuel. And Samuel was a prophet for a long period of time in Israel. And it's on Samuel's watch that Saul is chosen as king. And so that's really a very important and a pivotal time in the history of the people of Israel. Whether they should have had a king or whether they wanted a king, did God want them to have a king and things like that. But I'm going to read to you the story that was told yesterday, and then I'll make a few comments and so forth. And just if you have some thoughts or questions that occur to you, write them down, and then you can call in the second half of the program and raise them. And we'll do our best to respond to them. So the passage is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3 to 10, and then verse 19. And it says this: Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "I did not call you," Eli said. "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep. Again, the Lord called Samuel, who rose and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you, my son. Go back to sleep." At that time, Samuel was not familiar with the Lord because the Lord had not yet revealed anything to him. The Lord called Samuel again for the third time. Getting up and going to Eli, he said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. And so he said to Samuel, "Listen, go to sleep. And if you're called, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and revealed his presence, calling out as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel grew up and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, there are a number of little things in that passage familiar, like the three calls. You know, there are any number of times in the scripture where three is the big number, you know, and it's used, you know, in different moments. So just to give a little bit of background, here's young Samuel. He's a lad. Maybe he's 7, 8, 9 years old, 10 years old, something like that. Why is he in the temple? Why is he sleeping in the temple? His mother, whose name was Hannah, was childless. And every year she prayed to God to give her a child. And she was even at the temple praying one time, and she was so distraught that Eli thought that she was in her cups. She was drunk. And so he accused her of that. And she said, no, I haven't had anything to drink. She said, I'm so distraught. I want to have a child. I want to have a son. And she said, I've actually prayed to God that if he granted my request, if he would give me a child, when the child is weaned, I will consecrate the child and give the child to his service at the temple. And so Hannah, her prayer is answered. And she conceives and she has a son. And his name is Samuel. And once he's weaned, that's usually at the age of 3 or so, no longer breastfed, etc. She brings him to the temple. And he's going to live in the temple and grow up in that environment and so forth. And then the hope is that he will serve there all his life. Hannah didn't know that he was going to become Samuel, the great prophet Samuel. She just knew that she was so thankful to God for having heard her prayer. And she so wanted a child and was not able to have a child. She never stopped praying. She never stopped asking. And even though she was given the child, it was like, but the child isn't mine. And I consecrate, I dedicate this child. Yesterday, I was celebrating Mass at St. Anthony's in Ambler, and I had the Mass in Spanish. And there were 2 young babies, just around 40 days old. And so in the Mexican tradition, the Catholic tradition, they have those children brought forth. And there's a prayer that is prayed over them. We did that after communion. And I actually took those little babies in my hand and I placed them right on the altar, right where the corporal is, where the host and the chalice are. We had already cleared the table away, so the altar was plain. And we placed the child there and I placed my hand on the child. You know, and I prayed this prayer in Spanish over them. I mean, I had a copy of it and so forth. And they were a little squirmy, you know, but I had my hand gently on their tummy. And I was talking to them. I was praying that prayer, but I was looking right at them. And then both of the little children, they looked at me. One, you know, grabbed my finger with his hand, you know. And they didn't understand what I was saying, but they grasped that something was happening. They won't have a conscious memory of having been placed on the altar of their parish church. But their parents will tell them when they get older. My dad did that for me back in 1947. I didn't know that till many years later. And it's part of the presentation on the 40th day. Jesus brought to the temple. Simeon and Anna are there. And so Samuel, he's a little one. And then he's entrusted into the care of the people who live at the temple, Eli and so forth. And so he doesn't know a lot of things. He's learning. He's like an apprentice in a guild. And Eli was the prophet. He had a couple sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And so in this little story, we see Eli, he doesn't get it. Now again, picture the thing, it's nighttime. And everybody's asleep. I've had the experience, and maybe you have too, where I was awakened from a sound sleep. Like I felt it sounded like somebody called my name. Stephen. What? And then, like, there's nobody there. And I'm aware of this little passage, you know. So it's, Lord, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I don't know whether I was in a dream. I don't know whether Samuel was in a dream. But I know this. The Lord speaks. It's not that he just spoke way back then at the time of Eli and Samuel. He speaks. He is a God who speaks. He speaks to us. He has a word for us. He has something to say to us. He wants us to believe that. He wants us to hear his word. He wants us to embrace his word. He wants us to live his word. He graces us to be able to live his word. And it isn't just something for then, for back in the time of Samuel. It's not just back at the time of Moses. It's not just back at the time of Jesus when he walked the face of the earth. God is always speaking, all the time. And these little passages from the scriptures are designed to help us to come to an understanding of what God does and how God does it. And sometimes he speaks at night, and sometimes he speaks in dreams. And if you're not sure, if you have a dream and you wake up and you say, oh, I had a dream last night and I recall it, don't really know what it means, take it to our Lord and say, Lord, I had this dream. And it was this and this and this and this. What does it mean? Is there a word there, Lord, that you want me to understand? Is there something that you want to say to my heart in the dream? Because I don't understand all of the pieces of it. But if there's something there. And we ask that because the scriptures are filled with all kinds of instances where God spoke to people in dreams. We're familiar with St. Joseph. We just had Christmas. And St. Joseph, you know, when he learned that Mary was expecting a child and you know, that the Lord says, I want you to be the one to, you know, to raise this child and to name him Jesus and so forth. And up until that point, Joseph didn't really want to do that. He thought he was really overmatched, that God had in some way moved into Mary's life and that it was too much for him, and he just wanted to pull back and move away. And God said no. But when does God do that? He sends Angel Gabriel in a dream. And so at the end of the dream, when Joseph awakes, what he remembers is that the angel says to him, don't be afraid to take Mary. It is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived this child. And you are to name him Jesus. And he'll be called the Son of the Most High. And so Joseph responds. And he says, okay. It's a word It's an understanding. Joseph understands from the dream that God has spoken to him. Now, God doesn't come in, sits Joseph down face to face and say it. It's a little more subtle than that. But we're a subtle people. We can get things. Not everything has to be blunt and, you know, right. We can get some of the nuances. We get it. We can sense when somebody's trying to send us a message. We get that. We can also get that when the Lord's trying to send us a message. So in the little passage for today, where it's three different times. Now, Eli is a little slow on the uptake. And it's interesting because you would think somebody who has been in the temple and in the business, all that kind of stuff, would have been a little quicker to understand on the second time back. Said, no, I know what this is. No, it takes three times for Eli. He's a little slow on the uptake. And Eli wasn't the best prophet. And his sons were corrupt. And part of the message that the Lord wants to speak to Samuel is to tell him what's going to happen to the people of Israel because Eli is unfaithful and his sons are corrupt. And because they are not faithful and holding the people faithful, the Lord is going to remove his protection from Israel and they're going to be defeated in battle. And the sons of Eli are going to be killed in that battle. And so that's not in the reading for today, but it's the next part of that little chapter in chapter 3 of Samuel. And when he wakes up, Eli goes to Samuel and says, "So, was it the Lord? Did he call you again?" "Yes." "What did he say?" Samuel hesitates. Eli says, "Don't leave out one thing. I want to know everything that the Lord said to you." And so Samuel tells him the whole dream. It's bad news. And so it comes true. And Israel is defeated by the Philistines. And one of the things they had done is they had a battle. And they lost the first day's battle. You know, like Gettysburg, they're battling the same place over several days. Well, there was this battle between the Philistines and the Israelites over several days. And the first day, the Israelites lost, and they regrouped. And one of the things they did is they went and they got the Ark of the Covenant, and they brought it from the temple, and they brought it right out to the battlefield. And then when it arrived in camp, the camp exploded. "Ah, yes, God is with us." And so the people were all, and the people in Philistine are saying, "Whoa, what is that screaming going on over there? What has happened?" And people are a little superstitious at that time. Sometimes we are too, but they're a little superstitious. But the next day's battle, Israel's defeated, and the Ark of Covenant is captured. Because you can't use God like that. God's not a good luck charm. You can't grab the Ark of Covenant from the temple, the holy and holy, holy of holies, and bring God right out into the battlefield and expect that some kind of magical thing is going to happen. God says, you are not worthy of my protection because you have not been my faithful people. God knows how to defeat the enemies. He defeated Israel's enemies many, many times. But he doesn't protect Israel when Israel is not faithful. Because God is faithful. And he recognizes fidelity. And he graces it. And when people go their own way and they think they can have it both ways, God says, "You can think that, but you can't have it both ways. And you can't presuppose that I'm going to protect you all the time. You can't presuppose that I am always going to be there for you. You can't take that for granted. You can't have a presumption of that. This is a real relationship. You are faithful to me. I am always faithful to you. But I'm not always going to protect you. if you are not going to receive my protection and you're not going to be faithful to me, if you're not going to give your heart to me in turn. So all of that is in this little story of Eli and Samuel. And notice that it's the three times. And do you remember when Peter denies Jesus in the high priest's courtyard on Holy Thursday night? You know, they're warming themselves by the charcoal fire. And one of the maidservants says, "Oh, you're one of his followers. I saw you with him, you know." "No, no, not me." And we all know about the threefold denial, you know. And then the cock crows and Peter remembers what Jesus said. And it says he goes out and weeps bitterly. And, you know, there are even traditions that say that because of those tears, they were so bitter that Peter's face had like little lines in them from the tears, that the tears left the trail, that his face was changed from that night. So bitter were the tears that he cried at his own failure. The one that he loved, he let down terribly. And so after the resurrection, when Jesus comes to the upper room, and nobody is expecting him to rise, although he predicted it on different occasions, and he prophesied it on different occasions, but nobody's expecting it. He comes into the room, and there's Peter with the others. Oh, they all ran away from him, and Peter denied him. And he comes into the room without the door being opened. He can just enter. And what does he say? "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." They don't deserve peace, but they need peace. And so Jesus gives it. It's not until later on, weeks later, when they're up in Galilee, and they're out fishing again because they don't know what it means that Jesus is raised from the dead, because they don't see him. He appeared and he disappeared, he appeared and he disappeared, but they don't see him. And so there they are. They're going back to fishing because that's all they know. And they fish all night and they don't catch anything. And then there's somebody on the shore saying, "You know, hey, how, do you have any luck?" "No, cast your net out to the other side." And so they do, and then there's this huge catch of fish, and then that brings it all back to Peter. And the beloved disciple said, "It's the Lord." And Peter dives into the water, and he comes ashore, and they bring the rest of the fish and so forth. And then there's a little fish fry for breakfast. And then in the course of that, you know, they're all around. The fish is cooking, and they're going to have some pita bread, and Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep." "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep." "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Lord, I've been telling you I love you." Three times. Three denials. Three professions of love. It's the Trinity. It's perfection. The Lord gives us opportunities to be reconstituted. And so three has this special place in the scriptures. And so you see it in many, many instances. So today in this little passage, we're reminded that God spoke to even this little young lad. And this little young lad could learn to recognize the voice and what to say, you know. So now we have to ask ourselves, does God continue to speak to us? And we say, well, yeah, he does. How does he do that? If somebody asked you and you say, well, you know, does God speak today? You would say, well, I mean, I guess so. Or no, you say, yes, he does. Where do you hear his voice? And you think about it. You don't get upset. You just think about it and say, well, you know, I hear his voice at different times. When I go to Mass, in the Eucharistic prayer, I hear the voice of Jesus. I hear the words of Jesus himself at the consecration. This is my body given up for you. This is the cup of my blood poured out for you. Do this in memory of me. I hear his word. He speaks to me then. It's the same word that he spoke 2,000 years ago. It's the same word. He keeps speaking the same word because we need the same word. We need to hear that word. So in the scriptures, I definitely hear God. But I also hear God in the Eucharist. And in the scriptures that I read at Mass, like this passage from yesterday. And then the passage from Paul's letter where he talks about, he says, you know, the body isn't made for immorality. We can use the body for immoral purposes, but that's not what the body's made for. The body's made for life, and the body's made for love, and the body is made for eternity, because we're going to have a body for eternity. In our creed, we say that. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. My body, your body, is going to resurrect. It's going to resurrect to be saved or resurrect to be damned, but it's going to be resurrected. That's who God is. That's how God is. That's what God does. We hear that word. We hear that word in the scriptures. And so when you're at Mass, you hear God's word. And when you are praying in the Eucharist, you hear God's word. And so these are times, and you say, okay, I recognize that. But what about those special moments like Samuel was having here, or like Peter had? Do we get a direct word? Can our Lord ever speak directly to me? And the answer to that is yes. Yes, he can, and yes, he does. And so we're going to explore that a little bit more in the second portion of our show. How does God speak to you and me personally? And how can we tell that God is doing that? So we're going to take a little bit of break in a moment. The opportunity for you to call in to ask any questions or seek clarification or enlightenment for anything that I said today. The number is 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. And you can call in, you can ask any question, you can raise an issue, or you can make a comment, something that touched you or something that moved you in what I was said and so forth. So we'll be back in about 90 seconds, and I look forward to sharing the second half hour with you this afternoon.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906. 2906. Or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back. It's good to be back with you. I've always been just very drawn to God's Word. When I first went into the seminary, I was really young. I was just 16, and my dad gave me a New Testament, and he said, "You know, you have to read this whole New Testament." And so I have to read the whole New Testament. When you're 16 and your father says you have to read the whole New Testament, you put that in the category of things to do, but maybe not right now, you know. And I remember I said, I have to read this. So I read like all the letters of St. Paul. And one of the things that I remember saying was, boy, these all like really sound the same, you know. Like, why didn't he just, like, write one letter and send it to everybody, you know? So, in any event, as I grew older in the seminary, I was really blessed to have some excellent professors of theology and scripture especially. And they were the ones who opened up the scriptures to me, and I realized what was there. I never knew what was there. I didn't really know how to, enter into the scriptures. I didn't know how to approach them. I didn't know how to find the meaning that was there. But they taught me, and it was great. And ever since then, I've just really loved that. Now, there's a call from Deacon Michael, so I'm going to take that. Let me see. I press this, and then I press this, and I say, Deacon Michael.
Hey, good afternoon, Monsignor.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Doing well, doing well. My question for you this afternoon is, what are we supposed to interpret when Samuel goes back to Eli for advice or for counsel? So is there a true meaning, or is it more symbolism? Is it that you need to go back to the church to there's a message from God? To have spiritual direction, what could that potentially mean?
Let me ask you some questions to see if I understand what you're asking. So Samuel is young and Eli's old.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
So Samuel was going back because Samuel doesn't know what he's supposed to be doing. He's just learning this for the first time. He gets this dream, this word, you know, and so he takes it in, and it's not an easy word. He doesn't realize that prophets don't always get easy words. They don't always get words to make them feel good. A lot of times they get words that make them feel terrible. But it's God's word, and it's not that God wants terrible things. It's that God wants truth. And sometimes when we've wandered from the truth, when we hear the truth, it feels like it's a terrible thing. So Samuel doesn't know that. He's little, you know. But he does know that he's heard something, and he's going to have to reflect upon that and so forth. And when we hear God's word, we can, you know, we can just sit with it and say, oh, okay. We can, if we have somebody that we trust, we can go to them and we can discuss that with them. One of the things that I find, people have experiences of a spiritual nature, but they don't always have somebody that they feel comfortable enough to go to and to say that to. And you would think, well, maybe their spouse. Well, maybe, but maybe not their spouse, you know. It depends on where their spouse is and what their experience is and where the relationship is at that particular time. So you say, well, and so what happens is sometimes people have these experiences. They don't know where to go with them. So they just keep them to themselves, and they don't go anywhere. But God is always speaking to us for a reason, for a purpose. When he speaks a word, he wants that word to be heard. He wants that word to be received. He wants that word to be acted upon. He wants our cooperation. Grace is always a cooperative venture. So is the question along those lines?
Yeah, exactly, because that's almost like a subset of the passage itself. It's kind of subtle, but it's when you don't, when you think you're having an encounter with God and you're not sure how to interpret it, this is to encourage us to go to other people of faith who might be able to give us some insight.
It is, and I encourage that to everybody. That they should try to have in their life someone that they can go to like that. And sometimes the deacon, the priest, a parishioner, somebody like Kathleen, whatever, you can be that person, and other people can come to you, and they know they will be listened to. They won't be, you know, nobody will snicker and say, oh, yeah, God talked to you. No, God does talk to people, and they'll be taken seriously, and their voice will be heard. And what God is saying, that you can be helped with that. And the objective is to get that to the point where you're saying, okay, that makes a difference. I needed to hear that, and I'm going to make a course correction, or I'm going to incorporate that into my life or something. Yeah.
And then the part about Samuel being young, I tend to kind of either read over that or didn't really realize that. Could that also then represent people who are early in their faith?
Or, yeah, absolutely.
To get deeper in their faith?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Bishop Barron did a really wonderful homily yesterday. It's 15 minutes long on this. And he did a really neat thing on the sleep part. And he says they're sleeping. And he says in the scriptures, sleep is not always a positive thing. It's like you're not really paying attention, you know. Remember Jesus in the garden when he takes Peter, James, and John with him and he says, stay awake. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Like, don't fall asleep. Don't miss the moment of your visitation. Don't give in to the tiredness. And we sometimes do. And so when I was talking with the Hispanics yesterday in the homily, I said, you know, being asleep in the temple would be like you being asleep at Mass here, like you're here, but you're not really paying attention. Or you're here, but you're thinking of what's going to happen after Mass. Or you're here, but you're thinking of what the ball game is. Or you're not really paying attention to what's right in front of you, that the God that you love is present and he wants to encounter you right here. So don't fall asleep on that, you know? And that's the Lord saying, stay awake, be alert, you know, be prepared, etc., that kind of stuff. So you should, anybody who's out there, you should go watch that Bishop Barron homily. It's really well done. I stole some of it for my presentation today. Thank you, Michael, for calling in.
They're also a good thief.
Yes, really. There's a good thief. Yes, another one. Thank you. I'll see you.
Take care, Michael.
All right, take care. Okay. All right. So I'm grateful. Mike, he's one of the deacons at St. Anthony of Padua, and we celebrated Mass many, many times together, sat in the sacristy before the 6:30 Mass often, and we would have our little discussions there and so forth. So that's all really to the good, and I'm glad when he calls in and he always has something to think about. So I want to go back to just the idea of how God speaks today. So he speaks in the scriptures, and we hear that, and the homily is designed to break open the meaning of the scriptures. I used to teach homiletics, and one of the points that I would make to the seminarians, they would ask me if I would designate a particular group, like you're going to be preaching to parents, or you're going to be preaching to, you know, high school kids or something, and I didn't do that. What I did was I said, what I want to do is to help you to learn how to preach to the people who are right in front of you. So I said, your job to learning how to preach is to preach to your classmates, which is a very difficult thing to do because they know you and you know them. But here's the thing. Here's the text that the Lord, I want you to take that text and I want you to go to real prayer, not pretend clear prayer or class prayer, you know, where you're doing it just because it's the expected thing. No, I want you, this is real. I want you to go into your prayer and say, Lord, here's the passage. What are you trying to say to me? For me? Because before you can ever be a preacher of the word, you have to be a hearer of the word. And I actually think that's where sometimes deacons and priests fall down on it. They never got that sense of it. See, if you start out by going to the scriptures and your task is to find something to say to the people, the difficulty with that is it might go into your mind and it has some intelligence to it and it might make sense. But that's not what connects with people. What connects with people is if it comes from your heart. So when you set out like to preach, you have to start saying, Lord, what are you saying to me? What does that word today, what does it mean for me? What's the impact? You have to ask questions of that word, and you have to go to prayer, and you have to say, Lord, help me to understand. Help me to understand that. And then as you sit in prayer, you pray your rosary, you look at the Blessed Sacrament, it comes. Like a little dawning comes, and you say, okay, Stephen, that little passage from Samuel, that has something to say about you, you know, and that sometimes you're a little bit of asleep, and you're not really paying attention all the time, and sometimes you don't fight through the tiredness, and so I need you to fight through the tiredness. And I say, oh, Lord, that's what you're saying to me. Okay. So then, Lord, how do you want me to say that to your people so that they can hear you? Now, when I taught homiletics, one of the things I said was I quoted St. Augustine, and he said, the role of the preacher is to set the table so that the Lord, who is the host, can feed the person, the people. And Augustine says, I want you to realize that the Master, Jesus, the Master, is already in each person in the congregation. Jesus is already there. Jesus already lives there. And actually, Jesus is going to speak to the person in the quiet of their own heart, in the quiet of their own soul. And the preacher is to set the table in such a way that the people start to get tuned in to who the Lord is and how the Lord is. And then the Lord, who is within them, will speak a word to them, just to them. And people might leave the church and say, oh, Father, thanks, that was a great homily. And I'll say, well, what touched you? And I say, well, when you said this. And I'm saying to myself, I never said that. I don't doubt that you heard that. You heard that because the Lord was within you and he spoke to you. And something that I said opened you. It set the table for the Lord, who is the host, to feed you. And I thought that was really helpful, what St. Augustine had to say. So you start with, I believe that the Lord is looking for something to say to me. I believe it. You start in faith. You don't start with experience. You start with faith. I believe it. Then, and you move into prayer. Say, Lord, I ask you for your help to guide me and to lead me and to deepen my understanding and to give me words and a wisdom. That's how I prepare for this radio broadcast each week. What I'm telling you, that's what I do. That's actually what I do. And I have different things in front of me, but the Lord says, no, I'll give you what you're supposed to talk about. I'll give it to you. Well, it's an hour. Yeah, it is. I'll give it to you. Everything you need will be given to you. And I need you to trust me. But you can only do that if you come to me. And so before I go on air, I'm just praying. I'm just asking for the Lord to attune me to him so that whatever word he wants to go out today, okay, he wants to go out. Now, one of the things that has helped me is this copybook. And you would say, well, copybooks, that's really a helpful way to hear God's word. But this is my journal. So I write in here. And if you were to see, I only write on one side of the page. And I used to write longhand, but now I print because it slows me down. And that's a good thing for me, to be slowed down. And my thoughts don't come tumbling out. They come out more clearly and so forth. But for over 50 years, not consistently all the time in 50 years, but for over 50 years, I have journaled. So I really have stacks of journals like this. And this is what I do. I just go to the top of the page. I put the date. I might say what the weather's like outside, like it's a beautiful fall day, or we're expecting snow, or what a lousy rainy day it is. Or I might just say, you know, we're 2 weeks from Christmas or something, just a little something to situate, you know. And then I say, Dear Jesus, and I write to him like I'm writing a letter. Dear Jesus. And then I write. I thank him. I thank him for the gift of the day. I thank him for the gift of life. Yesterday, after the Spanish Mass, I got back to my cottage, and for Christmas, I got an Instant Pot. And at 76, I'm learning how to work an Instant Pot. So they give this book, you know, so I took the book. And then the book's really helpful, and it breaks it down in kind of simple language, and I get it. And I know I'm going to have to practice it to learn how to do that. And for many of you who are listening, you might be aficionados of the Instant Pot. I didn't even know they existed. Although my mom had a pressure cooker, and I was very much aware of that and the value of that and so forth. So anyway, I'm reading this book, and in the book it has all of these different recipes and pictures of the things, recipes and the component parts and how you do it and so forth. And so there were all kinds of things that you can cook in the pressure cooker part of it, things that you can slow cook, soups that you can do, you know, other kinds of meals that you can do, even desserts that you can do, all kinds of things. It was just really wonderful. And I just sat there for a couple of hours, and I just read through all of the different things, and I said, oh, that looks, I could try that, or I could try that. So I did that. Then this morning when I was journaling, I said, oh, Lord, I really thank you for the leisure time to take just a couple of hours and just lose myself in that. It was a gift that was given to me at Christmas, and here it is 3 weeks later, and I hadn't really done anything with it. And I want to receive the gift. I want to be appreciative of the gift. And so in order to do that, you have to give it some time. And then you not only appreciate the gift, then it enables you to appreciate the giver. Okay, so in my journaling, I write to our Lord, Dear Lord. And then if I have questions or concerns that I have, or if I've realized like where I've let him down, and I'll just say, I'm really sorry that, you know, I didn't stand up for you the way I needed to stand up for you. Or, Lord, I really need you to, I'm not sure how to handle this situation in the family. Like, this is going on. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? And sometimes, I'll just get this prompting from the Lord right in the moment. It's not like a word, Stephen, do this. Sometimes I can get that, but sometimes I get this prompting from within, and it's like, just put the pen down and look at me in the Blessed Sacrament and just be with me. Sometimes he'll say, I want you to pray the Divine Chaplet now. Or I get the prompting, pray the rosary. And I'll pray the rosary. And then I'll go back to my journaling. And I'll just write. So I could write a half a page, or I could write a full page, or sometimes I could write several pages. It just depends. But what I find is, as I write, things start to emerge from within me that I didn't know were going on. And I start to realize that the Lord is speaking to me. And it's a sense. You get this sense. And that the promptings are His promptings. Now, this is important. The Holy Spirit lives in our soul, indwells us, you and me. The Holy Spirit does. So the Holy Spirit, if God is going to speak, it's in and through the Holy Spirit living within us. And so it's going to come up from within. If we're listening for it to come from the outside, it may come that way. But more frequently, it comes from within. And we have to learn to recognize that. And we can. We have to learn to identify it. The journaling helps this. That's why I encourage you to do it. And there was a fellow in the parish who I've known for, I don't know, 20 years or so. And he came for some counseling. He was going through some difficult things. And he was away from the practice of his faith. He was raised as a Catholic and everything. But we had some really good sessions. And eventually he returned to the practice of the faith and got the confession, and he goes to communion. He's very faithful now. But he had never done anything like this before, but he had a copy book, and he started to write some things that he felt, just like, you know. Well, now he really is, he's quite good. His journaling, as he writes, he finds that the Lord is revealing things to him. He has this sense of God speaking to him. You know, God does speak to us, just like he spoke to Samuel. Sometimes it's in our own homes. Sometimes we're driving the car, praying a rosary. The Lord has a little something that he wants to say to us. I encourage you to journal. I encourage you to take some time. You don't have to do a lot. As I said, you can do half a page. Buy a copy book at Rite Aid or CVS. And just, it's yours, you know. Don't let anybody else read it. It's yours, you know. And the journaling, it may not come readily to you. But what I found was that when I would just start writing, things would start to emerge from inside of me that I was unaware of. And I was grateful to learn that that's what was going on inside of me. And so, you know, and then as I learned that that was going on inside of me, I started to realize that more was going on in the depth of me. And because more was going on there, I was, oh, Lord, where are you in that? And as I asked that question, I started to get an answer. And you can start to tell slowly at first, you know, was that the Lord? You know, yes, that was the Lord. And you can start to get a sense of that. You can start to trust that. And you start to say, wow, he not only is there, he has a relationship with me, and I have a relationship with him, and it's real. And I want that to be. And I want to hold up my end of that. And so we have a God who wants to speak to us, and a God who does speak to us. And he uses all of the different opportunities that we have. And so I'll pursue this more in detail in weeks ahead. But I just wanted to sow the seed of the realization that God is a God who speaks. He spoke definitively in the scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament. At the same time, he continues to speak personally to us. He speaks in and through the magisterium of the church and the teaching of the church. He continues to speak his word to us in a variety of different ways. And so we'll explore all of those things because it helps us to understand our role as Catholics. And so we're coming to the end of the program. I want to thank you for tuning in. If any of you watch this on live streaming, you watch it later in the day, not at 4 to 5. If you click on that and just let us know that you're there, that's helpful to us. We don't have Arbitron access to, you know, who's all listening and things like that. So it's helpful if you let us know that you're there and you're listening. Even a like or a little comment or whatever is beneficial. So now I'm going to pray the final prayer that I'd like to close with, and it's the parents' prayer for our children. Father, we have a simple prayer we place before you. Lay your healing hands upon all our children, including those who have walked or wandered away from the spiritual and sacramental practice of their faith. Bring them back, O Lord. They've turned from meaning to ways other than the practice of their Catholic faith. There's still some remnants of faith, but Mass has become less important. They believe they're basically good people who want to be their best by being true to themselves as they live in today's culture. Our faith is often viewed as being mostly about rules and commandments and mandates. There's little realization that faith is actually much less about these things and much more about you and your love for us all. It's much more about living in the truth that you are, O Lord. A connection has gone missing. This is not fully grasped. There is need to grasp this simple truth. There's a deep need to be reconnected to you, the vine. We who have loved them into life and formed them in faith know that this connection to you is vital to their lives, their love, their happiness. And so we pray, O Lord, that those we love will soon recognize anew that you are real. Realize that your love alone abides. We so love our children, Lord. We so love you. Please guide them, prompt them, awaken them. May they come to realize that you, Father, as does the father of the prodigal son, go down to the road each evening to look for their return, as do we. It is for this return we pray. In the name of Jesus, your beloved Son, we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all.